Thank you. Thank you. It's our favorite toy. We love our little toy, don't we? So I realize the irony in the title of my sermon. First, because this is a spoken word about not speaking. And second, because it's me delivering it. Why are you laughing? I thought I was going to have to ask my wife and kids to tell you about why it was ironic. But no, I see my reputation precedes me. I do like to talk. Several weeks ago, Gordon Wright preached a couple of sermons on hearing the voice of God. And this is sort of my contribution in that same vein of thought. And since it's my turn to talk, you all get to practice the art of listening. I resonate with what Sue said about how it feels like there's a lot of evil just right there in the world today. A lot going on, like the pace of life isn't as slow as it used to be, like it's hard to keep up, like it's hard to filter, and like it's even hard to know if you can believe anything anymore. They've even gotten to the point now where there's distinctions between disinformation, misinformation, and just regular information. Because there's so much. So much going on. And some of us, I think, struggle with the transition from the way things used to be to the way things are headed. I was from the generation that grew up when we transitioned out of analog to digital, from arcade to home gaming, from phone lines to cell phones, and from TV, newspapers, to computers and the internet. It's been quite a shift. Used to be only a few channels, just a few opportunities to get information. Listening involved some effort on your part. Now you can listen in on other people's conversations in the grocery store, whether you want to or not. You get to hear other people's music at the stoplight. Now, I like that kind of music sometimes, but not at a stoplight. We used to understand that communication was a two-way street. These days, sometimes it feels like it's one way, like it's all coming at us. There's a lot of voices out there. Sometimes there's a lot of voices just inside our own heads. We get assaulted with input, no matter what media you use. There's ads everywhere. We get increasingly distracted and increasingly weary with filtering it all, and increasingly confused. And we can easily create a false reality of only the voices that we like, can't we? That's the Facebook and TikTok and Instagram algorithms going on that filter out the stuff that you don't touch and don't look at and don't listen to and only bring you those things that you already have touched, listened, and seen. It's enough to make you want to hide, isn't it? Just run away, avoid interacting with the world. We know we have an enemy. To deceive the whole world, and especially us, because he's passive-aggressive that way. He can't beat God. He tried, and it wasn't close. I love the way the Bible puts it in, I believe it was, I want to say Revelation, but it could be another one, where it says, Michael and his angels fought against Satan, and a place was not found for them anymore. A place was not found. Couldn't see the crater where they got toasted. It wasn't close. We also know, though, that he's not attacking us because he's stupid. He's attacking us because we are deceivable. we can be led astray. But we also know that God's Spirit lives in us and he speaks the truth. We know the truth will set us free. So now we have to accept that we must learn to discern. Because we've got God's voice, the enemy's voice, as well as all the other chatter that we put into things. So how do you know God's voice? Well, how do you know anything true compared to something false? People who are trained to recognize counterfeit money don't go around messing with counterfeit money all the time. They get trained to recognize the counterfeit by handling real money over and over again. Because once you recognize what's real, anything that's not real is obvious. You can tell. There's probably something in your life that you've done a lot of. Maybe you messed with cars and engines, and you can tell right away by the sound of it exactly what's going on. Maybe it's music. You can tell when something's out of tune. Maybe it's math. You can tell exactly where someone made a mistake. Whatever it is, when you mess with the real thing, when you're exposed to the true thing, you can recognize a counterfeit. So that's what we need with God. We need to be repeatedly exposed to God's voice. And we will know the enemy's voice because of how it differs. Like the difference between guilt and conviction. Right? Conviction from the Holy Spirit is specific. It leads to repentance. It leads to action. It leads to redemption. It's about the action. It's about the brokenness that needs to be fixed. But guilt is vague, confusing. It's all-encompassing, and there's alwayses, and there's nevers, and it's not about doing anything. It's just about how you're stuck not being able to do anything. Big difference. But it takes practice sometimes to recognize which voice we're hearing. Jesus said in John's Gospel, "My sheep know my voice." So it is vital that we learn how to listen to God. Because we can't serve two masters, right? Either we listen to the one and ignore the other, or we follow the one and leave the other. The thing, though, is that when I go to God, maybe you're like me, do I go to listen first? Not usually. I usually start with blah, 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 me, 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 blah, 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 me, me, me. Before I realize what I'm doing. Now, God does invite us into his presence for the express purpose of making our requests known to him by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, as was mentioned a few minutes ago, and to comfort us in our grief and suffering. It's not that we can't do those things. We should do them. But there's more to it than that. Just like your conversation with your child grows into something more than what you have with them when they're three. I find that I am a spoiled American and that I tend to emphasize the supplication aspect of prayer to the exclusion of all else much of the time. My strong feelings, my fears, my discomfort is what I tend to talk about first and most, but that is the wrong attitude to take in God's presence. Because that makes much of me instead of making much of him, which is what I should be doing. Sometimes we get so blinded by our demands that we forget to whom we make our requests known. The requests are not as important as the relationship, or indeed as the God to whom we pray. Now, if Jesus wants relationship with us, if we're going to call God Father, shouldn't we communicate more than just a gimme list or whining? If we have a loving, strong, faithful, and good Father, listening to him is one of the best things we can do. If we have a comforter, a guide, Spirit of Christ in us who makes known to us truth in the words of Christ, we should listen carefully and frequently. When we get restless, uncomfortable, out of control, or overwhelmed, is being still and listening our go-to coping mechanism? In our grief, exhaustion, and anxiety, do we go straight to the one who knows and has plans for our good? I find that my own self-talk or the nearby media source or the enemy or my flesh all get in the way of the voice of God very easily and frequently. You can't serve two masters, and you can't listen to two voices at the same time, especially if they're opposed to one another. When I'm on the phone, sometimes someone else that's with me tries to help me by talking to me about what's on the phone that they hear me saying. Has this ever happened to you? This causes my brain to shut down. I become unable to keep up with either person. So I usually end up handing the phone to the other person so they can just talk directly to each other instead of me getting both sides wrong. So you can't listen to two voices. And some of my desires, my concerns, even some of my prayers for others' needs are opposed to God and His purposes. Are we aware that we sometimes allow ourselves and our feelings to be used as the mouthpiece of propaganda for the enemy's cause? Should we not, as it says in Romans, submit ourselves and our bodies to God to become weapons of righteousness instead? You can't do that accidentally. You have to be paying attention. So when we need God, when there's all the voices, when we go to God and remember to go to who He is, we should listen. We should ask Him, and then we should wait expectantly for His response. He may speak in a whisper. He may speak in a thought, or a song, or an action, or His word, maybe even in a sermon. We can hope. But we must usually be listening in order to hear Him. Where you put your attention in each moment is the most important decision you will ever make. And you're making it now. So let's listen to what God has already said about listening and being quiet. Exodus 14:14, Moses tells the children of Israel, "The Lord will fight for you. You must be quiet." How many times have we told our kids that? "I got this. I'm the adult. Just sit there and be quiet a minute." Job 13:5, "Oh, that you would be silent and it would be your wisdom." Meaning, saying nothing is smarter than the stuff you're saying now. Job again, 34:29a, "When He," meaning God, "gives quietness, who then can make trouble?" 1 Samuel, the famous one where God speaks to Samuel and Samuel goes to Eli because he doesn't understand. Eli finally figures it out. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Psalm 62:1, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation." The same psalm, verse 5, "My soul wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." Psalm 107, verse 30, "Then they are glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven." Psalm 131, 2a, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother." Sometimes that's a lot of work, calming and quieting your soul. It's worth doing. Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Proverbs 17:27 and 28, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. Ecclesiastes 4:6, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. I know a place where you can eat dirt cheap, but who wants to eat dirt? If it's a good deal on something you don't need, it's not a good deal. It is possible to have too much of something and it ceases to be a good thing. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And of course, Ecclesiastes 3:7, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. There is a time for both. There's a time for both. I think I need to go to the next. Yeah, there we go. Isaiah 30:15, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you will be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. But you would not. It's a little scary. Lamentations 3:26, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. 2 Kings 2, transition from Elijah to Elisha. And on the way to the random place where Elijah gets taken up, several times the sons of the prophets come to Elisha and say, hey, you know what's going down today? Your master's about to be taken. And Elisha stops him and says, yeah, I know. Hush your mouth. Yes, I know. Keep silent. These are the sons of the prophets he's talking to. And they're not telling him a lie. They're telling him the truth. And he tells them to shut up. How often does the Bible record someone telling prophets of God to shut up? Happens more than you think. It happens again in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 14:28. If there is no interpreter, let the speaker of tongues keep silent in church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Verse 30. If anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. But they are to be submissive, as the law also says. 1 Timothy 2:12, I do not allow a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Instead, she is to be silent. Even prophets and godly wives must be subject to being quiet sometimes. We must all be prepared to shut up sometimes and be quick to listen. Every part of the body of Christ has a time to give to others and a time to receive, so that the entire body may be built up. Amos 5:13, therefore the wise person will keep silent at such a time, for the days are evil. Zechariah 2:13, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. But wait, there's more. Habakkuk 2:20, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Zephaniah 1:7, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. this next group of verses is all about the same theme. Matthew 8:4, see that you tell no one. Matthew 16:20, he commanded his disciples they should tell no one. Matthew 17:19, Jesus commanded them, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Luke 5:14, he charged the clean leper to tell no one. Luke 9:21, he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one. Does that strike you as kind of odd? I mean, this is not an isolated thing. This happens over and over. Kingdom of God breaking through. Unbelievable miracle. Keep it to yourself for now. Wait a minute. Isn't this the best news ever? God's got perfect timing. We all know this. We forget, but we know it, don't we? If God wants it kept quiet, there's a reason. If God wants us to keep our mouths shut, there's a reason. We'll talk about what some of those might be here in a little bit. Just because we know the truth, and we do know the truth, doesn't mean we are always the ones to speak in every situation. Doesn't mean we need to share all of it with everyone all the time. Seems like timing was important to Jesus. You don't just start spouting just because you feel strongly, preaching included. Our world is so full of noise. Let's be different. Let's bring quiet when we come. Matthew 11:15, 13:9, 13:43, Mark 4:9, 4:23, 7:16, and Luke 8:8, and 14:35. Everyone that has ears to hear, let him hear. And I can't hear if someone else is talking. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But wait, there's more. Call right now and get the matching set of steak knives absolutely free. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. We have access to so many people's intimate details, don't we? Sometimes we're not even looking for them. Let's see what the weather is. Whoa! The celebrity did what? Right? Minding our own business is not something you can do accidentally. It takes work. We are in a world where you have to work harder to mind your own business than you've ever had to work before. But if God says to do it, it is worth doing. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands as we commanded you. I always liked the principle that I heard years ago that said, if you're not a part of the problem and you're not a part of the solution, you should not be a part of the conversation. That's where we get drama from. That's where we get rumors from. That's where we get gossip from. It's when we don't need to be talking. Discretion is the better part of valor because it involves self-control. It involves awareness and intentionally deciding what you're going to say, if anything. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. 1 Peter 3:4. This one's especially to the ladies. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You know why it's precious? In part because it's hard. It is not easy to have a gentle and quiet spirit. Sometimes I get frustrated when I read history because it seems like groups of people are just so easily riled up to doing ridiculous things. But we're no different, are we? You ever watch fans at a sporting event? Nothing wrong with celebrating your team and all, but we get riled up in the most ridiculous ways sometimes. Heck, just ride with me in the car and you'll see me get riled up about the most ridiculous things. It's a good thing other drivers can't hear me. James 1:19, let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak. And what do you know, you'll probably also end up being slow to anger too. It kind of works that way. Have you ever noticed that? When you've got bad feelings, if you go spouting around with all your bad feelings, do you get calmed down? No! Like I'm doing now. You get other people riled up. And then they got negative feelings to share. And then you go sharing your negative feelings all over the place. It's not that there's never a time or a place to share them, but you gotta be intentional with what you say. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Anytime I get tempted to think that my problems are big and the world needs to know about it, I hear from somebody else whose problems are infinitely worse. And it puts me in my place. My problems are this big. I'm a blessed man. I have an easy, comfortable life. I got nothing to complain about. Even the water tastes good. When I was a teacher at Metro Christian, God, must have been 12 years ago, I had a student named Trey Eagleton. And he wasn't especially anything. I mean, he was a 15-year-old freshman boy. He had some personality, but he got this weird idea in his head one year. It was that freshman year. For some reason, we were talking about the church calendar and about Lent and how sometimes people give things up. He decided he was going to give up speaking for 7 weeks. And he did. Now, he thought it through. This was not just a typical freshman boy. He thought it through. He realized he was going to be in school for those 7 weeks and that teachers were going to be interacting with him. So he carried a pad and a pencil everywhere. He came and talked to all of us, his teachers, before it started to say, hey, here's what I'm planning to do. Is this going to work? Am I going to have any oral presentations I need to do? It also wasn't that he never made any sounds. He laughed, he snorted, sneezed, whatever, but he didn't use spoken words for 7 weeks. And I wish I had taped my interview with him afterwards. Changed his life. First thing he said was all of his grades went up. Because you know how it is when you're a teenager. Your hormones are loud. They just are. They don't stay that way, thankfully, but during that part of your life, they're loud. But he wasn't paying as much attention to them because there were other things coming in. He was listening to his teachers. He was paying attention to what they were saying. He was looking at the board. I swear, I have had students that never look at the board. It's like drivers who never look at the signs. I'm like, not riding with you. he said all of his relationships improved. Because for the first time in his life, he wasn't thinking about what he was going to say. He was listening in a way he had never listened before. I haven't kept up with him. I'm not sure if he still practices this or what, but his story has stuck with me because I'm a talker. And it's an important lesson for me to remember that there is a time to speak and a time to listen. If that's not enough to inspire you, here's some more information. You can't hear well when you're talking. No one else can hear well when you're talking either. Maybe God's speaking to someone else right now and you're getting in the way. Am I getting in the way? I hope if God's speaking to you now that you've shut me out, because he's the most important voice for you to hear. Is someone else waiting for you to finish so they can have a turn? Some of us have problems with confidence about speaking to others or in front of others or even about others. For years, my wife was always after me to tell them the short version whenever I was about to go on about a story. Because she knew that it wasn't all about me. Other people's stories were just as important. But some of us struggle with that confidence. Some of us struggle to find the right words to say what we really mean. And we feel violated if we use the wrong ones. So it takes us longer to form thoughts into words. We need quiet to find our voice. Some of us are so plugged into a thought that it takes us some time to detach and sort of reorient ourselves to our surroundings. And then we can respond. We need patience to connect with our voice. And some of us are afraid that our words are dumb or pointless or so ordinary no one will finish listening to us. We need encouragement to find our voice. So if you find it easy to speak, cherish it, but maybe give others a turn. Maybe provide some encouragement by being attentive and responding quietly. So our focus has to change. Off of us, onto God. Off of speaking so much, and onto listening a little more. So let's practice. We'll start small and close, and then work up to big and farther off. Notice the person closest to you. Have you listened to them today? Have you caught up with them recently? Do you know what God's doing in their lives? Now think of the sources of truth in your life. The Bible, friends, preachers on the radio, podcasts, TV shows, blogs, devotional books, fictional books, Facebooks, etc. Have you been challenged by ideas or by personalities? Have you listened to truth? Or to facts? Or to entertainment? Are you taking these challenges, these new ideas, these entertainments to God for evaluation? What does God have to say about your mental and spiritual diet? Now look at God himself. Bring your mind, your imagination, into the presence, where all is submitted in worship of the Father. Remember his faithfulness over all these years, in all these trials. Remember that his power is greater than anything and everything. Remember his goodness, kindness, grace, and mercy to each of us, to all of us. Remember his supreme sacrifice as the substitute for us on the cross. Remember his promises yet to be fulfilled, the place he is preparing for us, the everlasting life, the multitudes from every people, tribe, nation, and tongue, the angels and elders praising and worshiping, the throne, the tree with leaves for healing, the river and the light, the city and the reunion, the celebration and the wedding. Can you hear the praises, the songs, the joy, and the confidence? Can you feel the peace? We all had problems bothering us when we came in. If you can't remember them, don't try. If you do remember them, be silent. Make your worries silent too. Because they're smaller than you, and we are pretty small. There's a really big God in this room right now. I think we should listen to him. If you keep silent, you will hear more and learn more. You'll give your mind the chance to observe, to sense, because you aren't getting in your own way by talking. You may be surprised by what you hear. It may be what you have needed to hear for a long, long time. Be silent. Let all the earth keep silence. For God himself.